Mama, unjani mama kaDoli?
Hey, mama.
Hi. one.
I'm not busy here. Which means I am in 5 minutes.
What's maybe 15 minutes, man?
Ah, it's 5 minutes for lunch.
Thank you. like us as a committee by next week when we encounter the department to know that, I mean, I can go and read it in the, I can find it myself. I mean, I have a research of my own and I've got a thick volume like this, I can go and read it myself. But it would be nice for us as a committee to just express a view on whether we think it's enough money here and there. You know, when I was in Labour, one of the things we recommended every year was that the Labour inspectorate wasn't given enough funds. And slowly we got through. You know, eventually they increased a little bit and increased a little bit, and eventually we got through, because if you don't have any inspectors, then the Labour Department didn't have any teeth to stop exploitation. It's only the inspectors that could do that. But we haven't got a table here, and there's a report on 6 of the 12 entities. I would have liked to see a sentence or two on each of the 12, and then just at the bottom, it's gone up by 5 million or it's gone down by 10 million or whatever. Some of it you can find here now in the notes to assist us. But again, the entities are not all in this one. It does consider some of them when you read in the detail. But for example, AXA, you know, has it got more or less money? And anyway, I mustn't talk to this because it's just notes. But, you know, I have questions when I look at this, because the program, for example, for civil aviation decreases by from 520 million to 140 million. But when you look at all the detail underneath, each line says this bit increases, that bit increases, that bit. So somebody's lost. But I don't know who's lost. Somebody's lost 400 million, 300 and something million. And I would have hoped to see the big changes listed in our report. And if we agree with them, then it's fine. I mean, the DA doesn't like wasting money, so we don't always disagree when the budget decreases. Sometimes that's the right thing to do. But if it's in a core function, then I get nervous, because that department may not be able to do its work if it doesn't have sufficient funding, like the Labour Inspector was in Labour. And of course, I'm newer to transport, so I'm still finding those holes. Anyway, that's just a comment I have.
Mr. Ollis, the information is available as you requested last week. This report focused just on the strategic plan, so that will be in the draft budget for call. So before next week's meeting, we can even provide that information for all the entities. Yeah, because the budget is only going to be so there will be separate budget vote and pool. But that information is already prepared and it can be distributed before next week's meeting.
Maybe I should explain this. Okay. This report help this one. Is the researchers report, the committee researchers report, which would then enable us to engage with the department when we meet with them next week. It, however, also helps us to identify key areas, because we talked about the previous year. Key areas that we may have missed during the strategic plan. The strike plan report also empowers us to cross-check when we are dealing with the strategic plan on what was presented to us as the strategic plan and the input that we have made, so that we can then influence. Okay. I don't know whether I'm making myself clear. So It is a process that empowers us to get to a level where, when we are dealing with the with both number 37, we are already empowered because we have engaged with the department and all the entities. We have also voiced our, we have identified gaps that are not being attended to. And that will also help us moving forward when we deal with the budget review recommendations report. So it's a process that enables us to move. Because if we had not had the strike plan, we would not have had an in-depth understanding and also identify where they are, the strike plan of the department is not in line with the strike plan of the entity, because we would just focus on the budget. But the strike plan assists us to pick up those areas. Like for instance, if I were to refer to this report of the researcher, on page 2, outcome number 4, it only talks about RIAVIA and BRT. In my view, public transport is broader than that. There are issues of safety in public transport. Scholar transport falls under public transport. Mm-hmm. And we have had a very slow pace in terms of the policy development for public transport. But we also have, in terms of the 2003 public transport survey, one of the issues that came out was that a traveling cost in South Africa is high. Now, there is no analysis that tells us how many times the fare in the taxi industry, in the train, in the buses was increased, also influenced by fuel costs, because it may happen that each time there is a fuel increase, there is also an increase on the fare. Like what I mentioned, that I used the bus during Easter, but the fare that were charged by different service providers, it's a bus leaving from Pietermaritzburg to Johannesburg, but one bus was charging 150 rand, and the highest was charging 650. That then tells that there is, as much as there is the issue of competition in terms of service providers, but when the gap is that high, then it has to be looked at as to how does it happen that one service provider will charge 150 rand and the other service provider will charge 650. Are passengers or commuters not being exploited? And also, is that what happens when it's pickup season? And what are the fares when it's not Easter and it's not Christmas? And in my view, we have never, as this committee and as the department, looked at that. To look, as much as the report is saying, the public is saying cost of traveling is high in South Africa, we have never taken an approach that says, let us scrutinize what is it that they mean when they say the price of traveling is too high, the cost of traveling is too high in South Africa, and what is the intervention that we are proposing? Because to me, the fact that there are modes of transport that are subsidized, like there is subsidy to certain buses, but not all the buses, then to me, that is a discrimination against other either service providers or commuters who are not using the subsidized traffic. Another issue for me is that when we are looking at issues of safety, if in 2011, a decade of safety was declared, 2011 to 2020, what are the different things that have been done by the department to actually focus on that issue? Launching a decade of safety is one thing, but then the programs that are complementing that are actually saying, we are going to do things differently, and what are those things, which is why this meeting with the minister, which was proposed, is also very, very important, because last year we experienced even high rate of accidents where farm workers got killed on a level crossing in Mpumalanga, and they were transported in a truck. And then the question that one would ask is, was that truck a type of a vehicle that is licensed to transport farm workers? How do we respond to the fact that there are farm workers that have been transported in tractors? And if we go to farm areas, Bangeni, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, you would find those situations. And how do we then intervene? So for me, it's not enough to say so many passengers were transported. I would want to see a breakdown of so many passengers were transported by the taxi industry, so many passengers were transported by the small bus operators, so many were transported by a big transporters, so many are using the train, like all that, and the fares that are related to that.
Thanks, Chairperson. So can I just ask you, for the purpose of this meeting, what we are meant to do today? We've got this document. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to propose additions, or do you want us to just have this for our input for the meeting next week when we're going to discuss the department? Or can you just clarify what, I just want to understand what I'm meant to do now, today in the meeting. I know what to do sort of next week, but I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do now.
This is more like, if we had undertaken an oversight, we would have come back here and produced a report. They say we have engaged with the entities, and they have said certain things to us. We have also responded to them and identified certain areas that are not incorporated, and we need to be talking to this. So what is expected of us to do today is to go through this report and see whether everything that we did on that day is covered in this report. And then if there are amendments that we would want to make, we make those amendments, and then we approve this as our report. And then we will then use this report to further engage.
Chairperson, according to my understanding, the correction and the input that have made last week, they are all here. I'm happy with the report at this moment, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Last week we had it was, yes, we did. It was included. The first part was his report, and the second part was his. And also, it was a mix-up because the draft was, it is the report of the strategic workshop and budget for 37, and we needed to separate that. What I would like us to go through is key findings.
From page 12.
Maybe on page 12, if we can say it's 2003 National Household Survey on Public Transport. It's called 2003 National Household Survey on Public Transport. Under observations, we say that the committee in the strategic workshop raised what they had observed through its study tours and oversight visits.
The points here are all I'm happy with the points that are there. Do we not also raise questions about low fare airlines and the financing problems and AXA's role and civil aviation's role and that sort of thing? And I don't see it listed. I would have added it as 7.7 that we are, I don't know how to word it, we feel the department should, or no, the committee was concerned about the difficulty that low-fare airlines have in sustaining their business model or something like that. Because, I mean, we've said it. We've all said it. It's because it reflects on civil aviation costs, on AXA costs, on all those other costs which those airlines struggle with. And also they spoke in that meeting about the need to investigate alternative airports that are cheaper. And I think we agree. I think we all agreed on that. So I think that's the thing that I would add. I think this is plenty about roads and buses and taxis and public transport. That's captured here. clearly it's a problem. I mean, even SA Express is in difficulty now, so clearly the costs for air travel are making airlines unprofitable. I'm trying to think what else we said to it.
We also spoke about the universal access of transport to all, because we have identified that as some of transport modes are not accessible to people with disabilities. Like, for instance, if you look at our trains and our platform, a person that is on a wheelchair,
yeah,
and even when you get inside the train, a person that is on a wheelchair finds it very, very difficult to get in there. That is why. But also, which is where then the issue of the number of the mode that is, the mode of transport that is, has got more commuters. If the design of the taxis that are being used and the design of the transport that is used to transport scholars in South Africa is not user-friendly to people with disabilities, what is it then? Are we saying in terms of universal access?
The one other thing I remember, I hope the committee agrees, but anyway, I remember pushing PRASA to make sure that on the stations when they revamp and that they put proper intercom systems and electronic notice boards, so that when a train is late, the commuters standing there on the platform waiting get information. Because often I think the frustration of lack of information, you know, and we want a world-class system. When you go overseas, there's a board. It says train 5 minutes late because there's a cow on the railway line. But I don't think that we've got here. And commuters get angry when they don't get information. And I think it was accepted by PRASA that they must do that. So I would like to also capture that. We've raised it with them, that information systems to the commuters, intercoms and electronic signage and so on, will help reduce the frustration and anger of commuters.
Also, when thanks for that, and also when the DDG room was presented, he made two presentations. The first presentation was an overall road transport mode, and then the second presentation was focusing on road infrastructure development, which was most cumbersome. And in that presentation, an issue of lack of bridges, pedestrian bridges, to enable school children to cross the river was highlighted. And also, we had pointed out the need for the department to develop a national model for road maintenance, because we had, during our visit, identified that there was even a use of cement or to repair an asphalt type of the road, which then means that there is no quality control. And that is also based on the lack of a model and also an accreditation system that would result with only those that are accredited being enabled to repair, because the use of a material that is wrong actually damages the infrastructure instead of repairing it and rehabilitating it.
any other issues that we I don't mind a little in Kumbula and Yokutai Kula. Show Bagalu.
Hi, Chairperson Kutala Waku.
Chairperson, that was the one that you mentioned. Your concerns about the fact that we didn't hear enough about the maritime year. I can't remember the detail, but it was your point actually. We felt we were only notified in April that it was the year of maritime safety or something.
Maritime, but we don't think
and we feel that as a committee that, and I agreed with you that it's no good telling us in April about the campaign that should have started in January. We should have been notified. I think we should make that point in our report as well.
Chairperson Ryan, we don't know what happened to Shobagalula. That is why I'm keeping quiet. Whether it is still there or it has just been dropped as a failure, I don't know. I call it a failure. Maybe they can call it a success. That is why I just decided to keep. But we did mention it. I remember you. You did mention it to them.
What he said in the workshop was that there had been a Shobagalula program which provides bicycles to students in the rural area. What we had then asked the department to do was to relate that program to industrial development and enterprise development in South Africa and job creation. When we asked them to do that, they went away, engaged a firm of consultants, and then came back to report to us that they had identified about 3 possible production sites. And what we queried in that report was that those sites were urban-based, whereas the product was targeting rural areas. And then we had recommended to them to re-look at that and identify poverty-stricken areas for establishment of production sites so that the Shobagalula program then speaks to job creation and development of underdeveloped areas so that it does, the bicycle doesn't come to the rural areas as a finished product. It should also be aligned to the job creation and poverty reduction objectives. And we even identified that if we were to do that in Shobagalula, maybe another part can be produced in another area like the wheels or something, another part produced and then assembled. And we even advised them that they must read the report of our study tour to China, because we had identified today that the Chinese government was strategic in saying, in identifying poor areas where there was high unemployment, and then directed certain companies to establish. And then you also look at this, the incentives that you need to give. But we were saying the argument that says it is cheaper to produce in town than to invest in town than to invest in rural areas is not a developmental approach. A developmental approach would say, what is it that we want to achieve at the end of the day? Are we only producing bicycles without looking at issues of social development like unemployment, poverty reduction, and all those things? And uneven levels of development in the country. But at the end of the day, locating a factory in a big city results with a problem of informal settlement, and it is much harder to deal with informal settlement than to provide people jobs where they are.
Chairperson, I hate to disagree, but the worldwide trend is that people urbanize. They move from the rural areas to the city. It's not because anybody's bad or anybody's done anything wrong. It's just that that's how society has developed everywhere. There's some move in some parts of Europe to move back to the farmland because the cities are so congested and people don't like living in big cities. But to try and undo a trend that happens everywhere in the world with state intervention, that the National Party tried that, and I was never involved with that. They're not no friends of mine, but they tried that. You remember a place called Berlin in the Eastern Cape and Hanover, and they put up factories with discounts. If you hired people in more rural parts of the Eastern Cape, then you got tax incentives to build a factory there. But the minute the tax incentive went away, all those factories have shut, they closed, because it didn't work. I understand that we want to try and provide jobs in rural areas, but to try to do manufacturing in a rural area just anywhere in the world doesn't really work unless it's a socialist government that forces it. You know, if the government builds the factory, then you've got no choice, the factory's there. But it's not a worldwide trend that works. The trend is to move, that people move to the cities and you can't stop them. If they want to go and work in the cities, they're going to work in the cities. And then you have to deal with the housing problem. You just have to. You have to build houses. You have to make schools available in the cities and so on, because that's the trend. It's an international trend. It's not a South African sort of problem. It's exacerbated here because of apartheid. But even if apartheid never happened, people would still have slowly moved to the cities naturally. It's something that just organically, I think, happens.
Maybe we would need a debate on that. We are talking here of a product that is consumed by government. The government that buys bicycles and supplies them to school children. And those bicycles are produced in other countries, and they are providing jobs in those countries. Yes. Now, do you mean to tell me that in a small town like Harding, where I was born, you can't manufacture a bicycle? It's not deep rural. It's a rural town. And it provides jobs to people who are living in Harding anyway. They don't want to go to a city. But all that we are saying is that if government approach is developmental, then government would give incentives, but also government would have a procurement system that takes into account how much government saves by enabling 80 families who live in Harding, who are sitting on the indigent register of a municipality dependent on government, who are sitting on the social grant register of the government, who are on the waiting list of the house of housing. But when you put that factory where government was going to buy these bicycles anyway, which is it that is cheaper? It's cheaper to have this factory here, because then in the long run this household will exit the indigent register and exit the social grant register.
Chairperson, I hear you, but I'm afraid what you're forgetting is that by moving the factory from, say, Durban to Harding, you're taking jobs away from people in Durban.
No, the one was going to. He's talking of a factory that doesn't.
You want to build a new factory?
So, the bicycles are not produced in South Africa. They are produced in China, and we are saying to the department,
yeah,
initiate a process where this program of government speaks to job creation, and enterprise development in South Africa.
Thanks, Jefferson. I'm not feeling well today. I've had some problem. So,
Jefferson, maybe we should start by understanding exactly why people were moved, why people decided to move from rural to urban. And that the understanding should be rural areas differ. There are those which are deep rural and there are those that are a little bit semi-urban. Then, some of the reasons people are moving back to the cities is because they were removed from those cities and placed somewhere else where they can't develop themselves. So the responsibility of this government is to ensure that there's a creation of small towns and townships to enhance those small towns so that it becomes at least bigger cities. And also that will help in eradicating the informal settlements that are all over our towns. That's number one. And the movement of people from rural to urban increases the rate of HIV and AIDS, which is killing our people, because people are separated from their families and move and stay away where in other areas where they will be involved in extramarital relationship, which is not good. And children will grow up without their fathers because they work far away from home and there are products that are produced in the rural areas and they are processed in the urban areas. Why can't those factories be built in the rural areas so that there will be no movement of people from rural to urban? Now our cities are congested and you can't blame the people for going there. It's because there is nothing in the rural areas. Only teachers, police, nurses are there in the rural areas, but there is no other job opportunities that are there. But having the infrastructures in the rural areas can create more jobs. Enhancing those train stations that were there before were used by the apartheid government to assemble parts and everything that will be used by PRASA or railways or whatever, Transnet, in those rural areas can create more jobs for people. So what we were saying about these bicycles manufacturing factories not to be in the cities is that they are supplied to the rural people. So those people in the rural areas will be able to repair those bicycles themselves. So that will reduce reliance on government for social grants and everything, and it will eradicate poverty. So that is the strategy we are trying to do. Because this special planning was done by apartheid government anyway. So that big cities is only Gauteng, Thekwini and Cape Town. We don't want that. We want transformation. And transformation, we mean that everyone must have everything. I need a mall where I'm staying. In Harding, they want a mall. And that will create more jobs for the people. And rural people can be able to sustain themselves without relying on government for grants. That is what we are saying. There are small towns like Sikisiki and Flagstaff. Those small towns are congested. You can see that they are economically viable if we just put our mind and change our mindset to build something that could be creative. If you brought a factory there that will make ties, floor ties, that can make car tires for taxis and everything, don't you think that could work? It could. Thanks, Chair.
Look, I'll just make one last comment and then I'll drop this because it's a very important debate. It's an interesting debate, but I just don't want to bog the whole committee meeting down on this one debate and then we waste the meeting that I know the chairperson has things we must do. But the point is that I agree that if you buy bicycles that are made in South Africa, you're going to create jobs here. That part I agree with. The Americans have a thing called Buy American that they had already in the 80s. They didn't want you to go and buy a Chinese bicycle. They want you to buy American bicycle in America for American people because it creates jobs in America. nothing to do with apartheid. In South Africa, it's made worse. But so let's say urbanization was going to happen to this level. In apartheid, now it's made worse. It's like, yeah. But it's going to happen anyway because it's an international phenomenon. Whether you are in Brazil or China or India, I mean, there was no apartheid in China. But in China, everybody's moving to the coast where the big cities are. Not because of apartheid, but because that's how cities develop. That's how you get better services in centers and so on. It's got nothing to do with apartheid. It's a normal process called urbanization, which is studied in every country of the world. It happens everywhere. And it will carry on happening. And we can't stop it. Even if we build a bicycle factory in wherever, Umlazi or Harding or whatever, it's not going to stop urbanization. It's going to carry on until all of us are long dead. It's something which we just have to acknowledge is there, and we have to try and help people who are going through that process to improve their lives, to get housing, to get jobs, to get all of the other things, medical facilities and all that. But we're never going to stop urbanization. Apartheid tried to stop urbanization, and look what happened. It's actually the opposite. People are going to urbanize whether we like it or not. It's going to happen.
I think we are approaching this subject from different perspectives. We are not talking about urbanization. We are talking about Shobagalula, a product that has been brought about by one, the distance between where people are settled and where the school is. We'll never be able to remove the school and put it near the people. It will cost more. But that is not the only problem that you are faced with. You are also faced with the problem of a child that walks a very long distance and gets to school tired and unable to concentrate, okay? You are also faced with a problem of the community that this child comes from that is unemployed. They don't want to move to town. They are just there. And you are saying, as a government, we have identified an intervention, and the intervention is that we are taking the responsibility of transporting these children. But the manner in which they are scattered, it would be more expensive to provide them with the bus. The best thing that we can do is to provide them with bicycles. Okay? But then, they are from a poor community. We buy this bicycle. We are faced with the poverty. The poor families become our responsibility because we have to provide them with social grants, we have to provide them with free water, we have to provide them with free electricity, we have to do. Let us reduce our expenditure on a poor family by providing the child with a bicycle and a parent with a job. Same community. We are reducing the dependency of, we are not dealing with urbanization. We are addressing issues of poverty. We are also reducing the dependency of a poor family on us as government. And a creative way of reducing the dependence of a poor family on us as government is to provide some of the people in the community with employment. Then we will reduce our expenditure, which is why the argument of the ANC is saying, if that is the case, then the procurement system is wrong because it is based on the price. It is not based on development. If it is based on development, it would then take into consideration what is it that is being purchased by government and how many people will exit the indigent register and the social grant register as a result of government having purchased this particular product. That is what we are saying. Coming to urbanization, if we look at the uneven levels of development, to say, how does it help to put factories in Mandeni and still do not provide basic services in the communities of Mandeni? How does that help? Because that was the intervention of the apartheid government. They put the factories. Also, they put factories of things that were not purchased by government. If the government turns itself into a sustainable market of poverty-oriented enterprise development, then there is always a market for that. If a toilet paper that is purchased by government is purchased from a cooperative formed by people who used to go and queue for a social grant, that is development. They are no longer standing on the queue to receive free food, but they have been given an opportunity of developing the same product the government was going to purchase and still look after these people in terms of social grants, in terms of free services, free water, free electricity, free everything. And the government of this country is saying, we are building a developmental state. We are not building a welfare state. So that is the argument then, which says, if you are building a developmental state, which is the target group for job creation and for poverty reduction? If the target group for job creation and for poverty reduction is found in rural areas, are there rural towns around those rural areas? Yes, there are rural towns. And then you locate the factory in a rural town where a person would go to work in the morning and come back and sleep at home in the afternoon, as opposed to a father going to Devon to look for a job and the mother remaining in Harding. And then you grow up in a family that is disintegrated. Because when the father is in Devon, he's going to have another relationship. When the mother is at home, the mother is going to fail to raise the children without the father figure. And that is what we are talking about. The social ills, which is why the ANC is saying a decade for socio-economic transformation. In your economic development approach, you are also looking at the social problems that you are trying to address through the system. And we are saying to the Department of Transport, this product will forever be provided. The government will always buy the bicycles. Let that be then related to poverty reduction and uneven levels of development, inequalities and unemployment. And we find those in rural areas, and there are smaller towns. Mutata is a small town. Lusigisigi is a small town. Harding, it has got all the infrastructure. And if those bicycles are actually supplied to the rural areas, it even becomes cheaper to then transport them to the rural areas than to transport them from big cities. And the department has presented to us sites that are in big cities that are already developed.
To every one of those points, but I won't, because then we won't get any of our work done. So I'm suggesting we just park it. We can debate over lunch or something further. But
we are saying something that we said to the department, and the department was expected to go and work on that and report it to us. Even if it was going to be a report that supports your view, the point that we are making is that the department never came back with the report.
Okay, well, I think we should put the question to them and then see how they respond.
Honorable Ollis, have you read the statutory report to China?
I haven't, Chairperson, it was before my time, and I don't have the report. I think my colleague has a copy of it, but I haven't read it, no. But I mean, that's a command economy, and I don't think it's relevant to South Africa, and that's why we keep having these suggestions of buying toilet paper from a factory that's newly created by government in a rural area, because quite frankly, if you build a factory in Umtata, let's say, to build to make toilet papers as you've suggested, and government buys those toilet papers from Umtata factory instead of from the factory in Emonti, what you're going to find is the Emonti factory is going to lose business, going to fire workers and retrench, and so you're going to just shift jobs from Emonti to Umtata. Your proposal is not going to work. And we'll be here in 10 years' time, and I will go look for that bicycle factory in where?
Harding.
I will go look for the bicycle factory in Harding in 10 years, and the toilet paper factory in Umtata, and then we can have this whole discussion all over again. But we'll have to wait and see, because we won't solve it this morning.
Yeah, everything we can
wait and see. But I just want to correct this one. I'll use the toilet paper because we've used toilet paper. If Mthatha buys toilet paper from East London and we in the rural areas buy it from Mthatha, it's now expensive. You see? Because they are going to charge their travel between Mthatha and East London. So why not build a factory in Mthatha and we get it cheaper than like everybody else?
But also, if you're talking about losing jobs, we can also argue that to say, if the person who was employed in a factory in East London was originally from Mthatha, that person would just shift back and then go and apply and say, I have the experience of producing the toilet paper, because people that are actually working in the factories in big cities are from those areas. So they will go back home and work from home, because it will even make them their consumer power much better, because they are no longer paying e-rent in town. They are in at home, and they buy one grocer. They are like I were, as when the father is in town and the mother is at home, you buy through two. Yes.
The second one is just in my, I'm taking the other home. Your husband must also buy from the
I get to Baba Lapaya a dropping. Usen extramarital relationship. Use Kashi. So Usen will support her the Yes. So those are the social problems that we are talking about, because the issue of sexual transmitted diseases, including HIV and AIDS, is actually exacerbated by that.
And Jefferson, I don't agree with the fact that having factories in rural areas then will make the other factories in the cities close down. Because South Africa has got more than 49 million citizens that are living here in South Africa. Yes, it's economic.
I'm sharing.
So what I'm saying is that if you grew up in a city, you grew up in an urban area, then your mindset, you'll think that everywhere is like that. It's not. This is a serious challenge that we are facing as South Africa. People in the rural areas, they move to the urban areas not because they like it. They are looking for a job. Some will go for more than 3 years without having that job, and they'll sleep under the bridges. Here in Cape Town, it's happening. Under the bridges, you'll find many obos. It's not because they left Eastern Cape to come and decide to sleep under the bridge. It's because there's no work there. They come here, there's no work, there's no accommodation. They decide to eat in the dustbins and end up under the bridge. So that is why we have this situation. So
if we don't change our mindset that we need to transform the social ills of our people, having infrastructure development in rural areas will minimize the movement from rural to urban. That is my take, and that is my understanding. The study tour to China, where the committee visited most of the parts that are used in the fast trains, they are assembled in the rural areas. In rural areas. So that is what we must try to do. South Africa has its own unique history, which is different from these other countries. So that is what you say we must do as a country. Sorry, buddy. We have to do this.
Chairperson, if you allow me to run the country, there will be many more jobs for everybody. Not just in the rural areas.
Okay, is that a meeting now, or what is it that we're doing? We don't even know where we come from. Where were we? Where were we? You throw us to this.
Okay, lead the way forward then. Chairperson, when you look at Kumbule Kaya every Wednesday, when you look at Kumbule Kaya, at SABC 1, every Tuesday, 9 o'clock, there are lots of old men. They left their home long time ago, going for looking a job. Then they leave. You look at Doris looking for her father since he goes to Johannesburg. Nothing, no, no, no.
Honorable people, remind me, where were we?
Lost in ANC fog. That's where we are. We were supposed to just finalize that list. I think we've finalized the list now. We've added three more points to the observations, I think, or four more points. I think it's been captured. So I think we must just agree page 16 now, the recommendations. And then we're done with this.
Okay, let's go to recommendations. Let's go to recommendations then. Is there anything that you have found you need to change, you don't understand? Questions of clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think this was a good debate that we were engaging in. But the fact of the matter is that at the point that we were making as a portfolio committee was that the department has a program called Shobhalani. And it was reported about before we raised the issue of local manufacturing, and it has disappeared because when they presented that report, we actually commented on it and said they must go and do more research and report. So the point that we are making is that Shobhalani must come back, and the department, it should not disappear like it has just disappeared. That is the point we are making at this moment. It's a basic lesson. It is informed by our background, and we can debate that one later. I think we also raised the issue of policy formulation, and that's not just policy formulation, but the fact that the department takes longer. The department focuses more on policy formulation and less on coordination and the development of an integrated transport master plan as well as the transport development model. The point that I'm making is that what we have observed is that there are two policies
that have been on the pipeline since we came in as the fourth parliament. It is the scholar transport. It has taken the department more than 5 years. And it is the maritime policy. It has also taken the department more than. Yeah. We raised that day. We raised that day.
Should we then go to the recommendations?
Chairperson, when we are talking about the Amber Song, is the committee happy about what's happening in the other provinces because they don't use this money for repairing the roads? The committee is not happy about the Humber Soke project that was not used as accordant because most of the provinces are not using this project for road maintenance. They are using it for their own business. Thank you, Chairperson.
Low-cost airlines or locally airlines, we must just say something like the department should investigate means of making it more attractive for low-cost airlines to survive in the South African environment, you know, because that covers. They must investigate AXA, they must investigate any costs and fees and regulations that prohibit. So I think that turns with that. I mean, the wording I'm not fussed about, but I think that. And then in terms of PRASA, we would request PRASA to investigate improving communications with commuters on the platform of the train station, e.g. intercoms and electronic information boards. But it refers back to, again, the one on the previous page. And then I'm just trying to remember the list which we've just added to. Can Valerie or somebody just remind us of those extra points? Each one must get a recommendation.
was made by the CEO of the cross border, which talked about positioning South Africa in relation to infrastructure development and look at the cross border and opportunities that could then in ensuring that the trade potential within the African continent is actually improved through the provision of infrastructure as well as transport services to connect Africa.
I agree with that, Chairperson. In fact, it's one of our policies that we feel that South Africa could perform much better if we did more trade with Africa. It's like we're this little island here and nothing happens, and it's our dear policy. In fact, I'm totally behind that. We must improve the connections with Africa, otherwise we're never going to get enough jobs created here. But two of the things which and you don't have to put it in a minute, but I just want to say it, two of the problems that companies have experienced. The one is delays at borders. There's one border between between somewhere in the Congo. Is it Zambia? No. Anyway, it's 14 days to get through the border post with all sorts of documents, and then they tell you, no, you haven't got the pink one, you've only got the green one, and yeah, that's a worst case, of course. But cross border in SADC, Southern Africa, you're exactly on the point. But it's about speed. They've got to get the speed, and then also the bribes. Angola is particularly bad. To get in and out of Angola, you've got to bribe people. The speed of crossing the border is one of the aspects of that problem, and the bribes and some, not. I mean, I haven't seen that as in South Africa, but in Angola, one has to pay a lot of bribe money to get things through the border. Let's call it just corruption, maybe, at the border posts, are two of the problems that make it really difficult to do business.
It's what the CEO was actually presenting. But I want us to look at 8.5. I don't have to improve that recommendation, because what we were also saying, which maybe helped to go to the observation, was that each entity was coming up with its own cooperative development approach, and they were also engaging consultants. And what we then agreed on was to say, let's come together as the transport family to look at a cooperative development approach in transport, identify a niche market within the industry for cooperative development. Because if each entity is using its own consultants, we will then come up with a different model, and we will also waste a lot of money. So we did recommend that maybe we needed 2 days to come as the transport family to look at a development approach within transport, a cooperative development approach within transport.
Thank you.
adopt this with the amendment. I think it's the same. We can adopt the recording amendment today. Then we get the correct version next week. It's still the same.
Chairperson, I'm happy to adopt the report as amended. But obviously, if there's a word wrong next week, then we need to, in the committee, just say, oh, but we must amend that word, because otherwise, you know, it might say underway instead of engine or checker, and then we need to check it.
Can we have then have the mobile adoption? Thanks, Chairperson. I move that the report be adopted with all the amendments made. Chairperson, I second that the report must be adopted.
And this intervention is poverty-related intervention.
We are not saying all the factories must leave the cities and go to, but poverty-related interventions must address poverty in totality.
I know the amended draft program. I see that you've included the briefing by the minister, which is very welcome. Thanks, I appreciate that. I also see that we still haven't got an oversight visit at all. I just wondered if there's any progress on having an oversight visit. Suka made the first suggestion that we go to Braamfontein to see the properties of Prasa that the CEO was telling us about, and the potential for a hotel and a conference center, and what the other interventions at that station were, and so on. And then we also, I suggested the union carries at the same time because it's both in Johannesburg. It's not far. You can go with the bus quickly and do both. So you can handle it in one oversight trip without having to go back again.
It makes sense.
If I may check, when I was starting with the budget vote, I didn't check my program. Next week. Some of them will happen in plenary, so the program is not yet completed because some of them are going to be happening in plenary. So that's why it is a bit difficult to finalize it. But if the committee agrees that we can utilize Friday and the Saturday, then we can have it. What?
I mean, we could use a Friday, but Saturdays in my constituency. But you see, for me it's easy because I live in Johannesburg, so then I just get off the bus and go to my constituency. But other colleagues may live far away, or their constituencies may be far away. I don't know if that would work. Friday I can do.
May I suggest that we keep this on the loop and wait for the final program of budget vote. And if we find that there is a way in which we can slot this oversight during the second term, we do that. And if not, then we have to do it on the third term. And it is important that we do that oversight so that it becomes part of our legal report. Fine like that?
Fine.
Mm.
Mm.
All right. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Chair, I was waiting to get to the end because this is the last item. The Isani matter. I understand it's not fitting on the program as such, but it would be good if we could get it on the next term. Just so there is a definite date. But I also felt that in the deliberations that we had when the stakeholders appeared and testified before us, that the discussion was interesting in as much as it revealed that there's a lot more to this problem than we originally thought. So I think we really need to expand the brief, and rather than just saying the proliferation of general aviation airports in the Johannesburg area, talk about related safety issues as well, because since then there's obviously been a lot of interaction, there's been a lot of stuff on Twitter and on various websites. A lot of pilots are complaining about ATNS services. There's been further inputs about the Civil Aviation Authority. Some people say that airport buildings and tarmacs don't fly around. It's actually aeroplanes that fly around, and therefore you've got to look at other issues. So this is this thing that we just sort of probed and dipped our toes in the water on turns out to be a lot bigger than we thought. So I don't think we need to restrict, and we shouldn't restrict ourselves to a topic that's as narrowly defined as that anymore. I think those people have also got to answer more questions and put more inputs in and be, you know, questioned by some of the other people of different views. But I think we need to expand the brief if we can. I don't know whether that's a problem. It shouldn't be. But let's talk about general aviation safety, particularly in Kaohsiung, rather than just one aspect of it. Okay, good stuff. Thanks. If we can just, if we can do that one thing.
No, we will do that because it is what we had identified during the that first interaction. Fine.
Thank you.
Next thing is...